All righty, coming on back, it is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Dominic Easley is here with us. And obviously, Dominic and I have become friendly-ish through the last year with him coming in studio. If you ever want to suck up to a talk show host, you just bring a Patriots Super Bowl championship ring. And hey, I'm definitely excited about that. So we heard Dom was in the house today. I want to bring him on for a few minutes. How you been?
I'm good, man. Thank you for having me.
Well, I appreciate you coming on. So let me start you off because I didn't know this about you. I know you're here today on Same Here Global. Tell me a little bit about mental health and kind of the advocacy that you're doing.
So I was fortunate enough to go through life and come out on the other end successful in a sense. You know, as we're still going through life, I'm still figuring out who I am mentally or whatever. But growing up, we didn't have anyone to be able to show us what mental health was or what vulnerability was and how to take care of your mental health. So that's what I'm trying to give back to the community and to the world, to be able to give them an opportunity to be vulnerable and see the benefits of being vulnerable and creating a stable and healthy mental health.
Yeah, there used to be a stigma with mental health. And it used to be, oh, if you're a guy and you have mental health problems, like, keep it to yourself. Now I feel as if we're in more of a accepting society and more of a society where you could open up about that stuff and get help. Was it difficult for you, right, in a macho man world, NFL locker room, to even realize that, hey, maybe you needed help?
Oh, yeah. You never even had that conversation of help. Right. Help wasn't a word that you used because it was a weakness. It was used as a weakness and it was portrayed as being weak. But everybody down social media, which social media has its pros and its cons, but it's also created a viewpoint of mental health and how crucial it is and how many people are actually going through things in life, which is majority everybody.
Dominic Easley here with us. What do you want people to know more about what you're doing today?
Definitely go to Easley.org, EasleyFoundation.org, and definitely go ask for help. Ask for resources. If you're going through anything, reach out and understand that people are here to help you.
So just wondering, because now, right, your career's over, right? You won a Super Bowl ring. You played in, you know, you were part of two Super Bowls. You were also with the Rams when they got to a Super Bowl and lost to the Patriots, and then you won one with the Patriots. What's the next chapter for you? You know, obviously you have the foundation, you're being a mental health advocate, but what do you kind of envision the next professional kind of thing for Dominic Easley when you also maybe tie it into football? I feel coaching and like advising, things like that.
So outside of mental health, being partnered up with Same Here Global and the Easley Foundation, I actually started coaching. I started coaching at Cherokee High School, started coaching defensive line, and actually I'm in love with it. Like, I really miss the game. It's really making me miss the game, and I miss coaching these kids.
What type of coach are you? You a loud coach?
No, I'm not a loud. I'm the same type of player as I was. I'm the same type of coach as I was a player. I'm very intimate with the players, and I'm not a loud coach.
You're not a get-on-the-line coach, let's run 110-yard sprints?
Nah. But you're going to know we are going to run those sprints as hard as possible because I'm going to be right there with them. So, and that's the thing. Like, I work out with the players, I run with the players, and I go through plays with them so they can understand. I've been here. I've done this. So I'm going to help you get through this and get farther than where I've ever been.
All righty, let's get to your Super Bowl experiences. Take me through the Malcolm Butler interception at the goal line.
As we know, we was all sitting there expecting one thing to happen, which the whole world expected it, common sense would have allowed it to happen. And once Marshawn didn't get that ball, we all knew what play was coming, and we all was right there at the goal line after he caught that interception and ready to celebrate.
You know, I was watching something the other day. I think it was Patricia was on with Edelman.
Edelman, yeah, I seen that.
Yeah, and they put in that formation and that package that week.
Yep, in practice.
And Bill was saying all through the build-up for 3 years, you know, let's go put in this three-corner package on the goal line.
Yep.
And
it worked.
They finally put it in, and then it works.
Yeah.
When things like that happen with the Patriots, and then you find out those stories, you just go, man, Belichick is always just one step ahead.
And that's the thing. Like, practice, what you practice is what you preach. And he made that apparent, and he has a success to show that behind it.
All right, Belichick coaching at UNC. Your thoughts?
I'm excited. I'm actually excited to see him in college because what he tried to create in the NFL with grown men was kind of hard in a sense, but you had Tom Brady. But now he's able to mold them as kids to be professionals by the time they get to the NFL, especially they starting with all this money and the NIL nowadays. So I'm happy that he's there.
I'm annoyed, though. I don't get me wrong. good for Bill, right? He's coaching again. Mm-hmm. It's going to be interesting. I'll tune into to more of UNC this year than I ever have before. But he belongs in the NFL. And you had seven jobs this year. Six have already been filled. Probably Kellen Moore is going to get the Saints job.
Yep.
You're telling me that there's six or seven coaches getting hired right now that are better than Bill Belichick?
That's the thing. It's not better. Times has changed. Belichick, the Urban Meyers, the from Alabama.
Nick Saban.
Nick Saban's. Like, it's just not their time anymore. You know what I mean? As far as the NFL is concerned, because you got kids from college going up to the NFL. The kids from college ain't like who we were coming up from college. They coming up with money already. So it's a different mindset. It's a different way to connect with the players. And honestly, I don't think Bill would be able to have that connection with this generation of players in the NFL. But I think he can get and he can help mold these kids into grown men.
Dominic Easley here with us. On the other side, we talk about winning a Super Bowl,
yep.
Losing the Super Bowl, walking off the field. It was 13-3. It was one of the more lopsided 13-3 games. Yes. The Patriots looked so much better. The Rams offense really couldn't do much that day. But when you get so close and yet so far, it's not fun walking off the field. But how do you kind of remember those emotions?
I mean, it was a bittersweet. You know, it sucked because obviously I won one with them, but when I faced them, I was hoping to win another one. But facing the Patriots, I mean, you know what you're going to get into. You know what I mean? It was a hard game. It was a hard-fought game. I mean, you heard it from Tom Brady. One of his toughest games was that game, you know? So it was a bittersweet moment.
I'm also surprised how quickly the Rams were able to replace Aaron Donald. I know there's no replacing.
Yeah, that's all I was about to say.
Aaron Donald, but when I watched the Rams this year, I didn't say, clearly everyone misses Aaron Donald, but I didn't feel as if his presence was missed because they did a good job in the draft, adding to what they already had, getting those guys like Jared Verse and Braden Fisk.
Yeah, no, Jared Verse definitely filled in the spot, and I think when Aaron left, he left a culture there. He left a culture, he left the type of culture there that continue on without him, and when Jared Verse came in, I think they just added on to a recipe for greatness.
Where do you think the Rams are heading to? Because I saw that Cooper Kupp, they're going to trade him. The Rams said that they no longer want Cooper Kupp. You still got some good players there in Stafford who's coming on back. They got to figure out the contract. You got Kyron Williams. You got Puka Nacua, and we just mentioned all the defensive players.
Yeah.
The Rams, are they close to winning it all again, or do you still just think they're just a good team?
I think they're a good team. I love Sam Bradford, but I think it's definitely time for a new type of quarterback to come in there.
You mean Matthew Stafford?
Matthew Stafford, yeah. I apologize. Matthew Stafford to come in there because he's old, man. You know what I mean? Like, he's still playing at a high level. Don't get me wrong. He's still playing at a high level. But I think the Rams' personnel is starting to change.
So it's interesting because when Stafford, whenever he leaves, and I think he'll be back with the Rams next year, I wonder, and you know McVay a little bit playing for him, I wonder if that's McVay then saying, okay, I'll go to do TV for a few years and then get the whatever job I want when I'm done with TV and take a little stress off your life. Or does Sean McVay kind of get reinvigorated to say, I've never been able to go draft that young quarterback?
Sean McVay had a very interesting career. He's been a winner for a long time. I think after Washington, he had his goals, and I think he's beat his goals before his time, and I think he's ready to spend time with his family because, you know, he wants to start a family. He wants to be a family man, so I think him winning the Super Bowl, him doing what he did at the Rams, he's able to now leave on a great legacy and create another legacy for him.
So he'll go the Sean Payton route, right?
I think so.
It'll be TV for a little bit, maybe probably longer than Sean did. Because if he leaves, I don't know if that itch is going to be there right away to return.
Yeah, now I think he might. I can see him return.
He'd come back.
Yeah, without a doubt. I think he's going to miss it.
It could be a little bit like Gruden, where I don't know if it's going to be 10 years.
Yeah.
But there's maybe like 5 or 6 years off. You do the because he would be a rock star in TV. His memory,
it's
when
crazy.
He recites some of these plays. How you could remember a full drive script from 7 years ago is just a stupid memory.
Yeah, no, it's ridiculous. And he's that's how he is at all times with everything. And that's how, and me being in Georgia, I've been hearing about him from me coaching in Georgia, and that's how everybody's been saying he always been.
And it kind of stinks if you're a player and you have a coach of the memory like that. Because if you make a bad play,
oh, he knows.
If you ever have an issue with that coach, he goes, oh, well, in 2018, on 3rd and 3 with 3:33 left against the Las Vegas Raiders, you messed up this play.
He reminds me of an Ernie. You know who Ernie is?
Oh, Ernie Adams?
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah, he reminds me of an Ernie. Yep.
Because Ernie has that photographic memory.
Crazy.
Except everyone knows who Sean McVay is.
Yeah,
no one knew
who Ernie was.
Ernie was, oh, that guy that's friends with Bill that is just a mad scientist that sits in some office somewhere.
You always, it's crazy because every day at practice, we used to, people who didn't know who Ernie was, and even me at a certain time, used to always look back because Ernie's the only person that's always in the backfield. If Bill is not back there, it's only Ernie. So it's just like, if Bill is not back there, then how is he getting this thing back there? Then you realize how important he is to the Patriots organization and their winning.
So when you're a young player in this league, right, sometimes it doesn't always come to you right away. And right, you had big expectations too, and unfortunately you had to deal with some health problems. But man, to see what Jalen Carter's doing this year, Nolan Smith as well. Those two guys from Georgia and what they've done this year, that's why this Eagles deep. I know bringing in Fangio helps, but those two guys taking it to the next level is a huge reason why the Eagles are here.
Absolutely, 1,000% correct. And that's what I always tell people. When they was facing the Commanders, I told them, the Commanders is going to have a hard time because the Eagles' defensive line is going to eat them up. And for me, I'm going with the Eagles for the Super Bowl because I don't think Pat Mahomes is going to have enough points to put on that board to stop them.
So I look back at the Texans game in the divisional round. Will Anderson, he was feasting.
Yep.
But their offense just wasn't ready to go this year for the Texans. The Eagles offense, Saquon doesn't have a good game. Dallas Goedert, A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, Jalen Hurts, they'll pop off.
All around.
There's enough there where I think they could outscore the Chiefs. But more importantly, I look at that defense. I think that defense could do to the Chiefs' offensive line, which is good on the interior, but the tackles are a weakness.
Yep.
I think that Eagles' offensive line, defensive line could do to the Chiefs' offensive line what the Texans did, except they'll have the point production
without a doubt.
The Texans didn't have.
People are going to be so surprised. Like you said, the Chiefs' tackles are weak. I guarantee you, majority of all their sacks is going to come from inside this game.
Why is that?
Because of how much effect. Once you affect the middle, he has nothing but to do but run outside. And then Pat Mahomes is not going to be running out. We got players. People run. We got sideline to sideline players. We got the linebackers. We got the D-line. We got the D-ends. The inside, I guarantee, is going to make the most effective because they're going to stop the run and they're going to continue doing what they did.
This team reminds me a lot. I just didn't think about this until now you said it. The Buccaneers team with Brady that beat Kansas City, because that defense was the strength of that team with guys like Shaq Barrett. You had great linebackers too. And that defense, and Mahomes had tackles that weren't healthy. They were exposed in that moment. And I think they'll score more than 9 points that they scored that day. But that offense in Tampa Bay, right, had so many different Evans, Godwin. Yep. You had Gronkowski was still there. Tom obviously being the quarterback. I think there's some similarities with those two teams.
Without a doubt. And speaking of that, now that you said that, Devin White was the linebacker
for
sideline to sideline. And that's what Pat Mahomes is going to have a hard time running around.
So you know what it's like, though, to be on the team with Brady and then be on the team against Brady. We could sit here, and I agree with you, the Eagles are going to win the game. Yep. I look at 1 through 53, the Eagles are a better team. But you look at the Chiefs at what they have at the top, Mahomes, Kelce, Chris Jones, who's a stud, Steve Spagnuolo. That's the mental part of it, right? The Eagles are a confident team. The Eagles are a great team. But you know it doesn't matter how many you're up. When you have the guy on the other sideline and you've seen it both ways, you're never out of the game.
Yeah, but Pat Mahomes ain't Brady yet.
Okay.
Pat Mahomes is not Brady. And I say that because how Pat Mahomes is a hell of an athlete and he does what he does. Nobody can't take that away from him. He's been where he's been. He's going to keep going where he's going. But Brady understands how to break people and teams down with the vicious motor. You know what I mean? And I don't see that in Pat Mahomes yet.
I don't know. You ask the Bills, you ask the Ravens, you ask the 49ers. They go, this is our Tom Brady. And I think Brady's the GOAT.
Yeah.
I think Montana right now is the second greatest quarterback of all time. But I think Mahomes is already third. And if he wins on Sunday, he moves to two.
Yeah, without a doubt.
And then you're chasing Tom.
Without a doubt. I just can't see them getting past this D-line. The Eagles, I cannot see them getting past this D-line.
So before we let you run one more time, Dominic Easley, tell me what you're doing on Same Here with Same Here Global and obviously all the advocacy you're doing for mental health.
With Same Here Global, we are making sure that everybody has resources that are going through certain things in life, which everybody's going through something in life, to be able to reach out and get help. And I won't say the word help, but to be able to manage life, you know, find your balances within and without. And also with Easley Foundation, we are trying to make the word vulnerability a common theme to understand how beneficial it is for you.
Okay. Now you got a nice chain on. You got the Super Bowl ring as well.
Yep.
When you go to your hotel room tonight, like I put my watch in a safe. Mm-hmm. I put my laptop in a safe. Do you just leave that in the hotel room or you put this stuff in a safe?
No, it's right under the pillow with me.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, I guess if someone was to break into the room, I think you'd be able to hold your own.
Yep.
Anyway, great to see you. Appreciate it. He's Dominic Easley. We'll take a timeout on Radio Row. We come on back. Paige Baranek is going to join us back for more from New Orleans after these short messages. All righty, welcome back in inside the Convention Center at Radio Row in New Orleans. Now joining us, Paige Baranek, kind enough to be here on Radio Row with Las Paige's YouTube channel. What a name. Appreciate you doing this. How you been?
Yeah, great. Really excited to be here.
So is there a day where you don't make news? Because like I woke up this morning and they're talking about, it wasn't a dress, but whatever you were wearing last night at media night, and it wasn't anything like crazy that you were wearing, but anything you do makes news.
Yeah, it's crazy. I have to watch what I say sometimes because I will just post something online and it's like Paige eats cereal and like it's like what?
You can't be sarcastic.
No, you can't be sarcastic, and I think a lot of the hate that I get is because of the clickbait articles and the headlines.
Sure.
Because I am quite sarcastic and have a good sense of humor, but that doesn't come across when they're, you know, obviously trying to get clicks. And so I have to do so many times where I'm like, I didn't say this, this is actually what I meant, and this is what it is, but you know, it's all in good fun.
And the world that you're in is so fascinating because you're in the golf world, which you have golf traditionalists that a lot of them don't like to have fun, and you try to bring fun to golf, and it's got to be tough to navigate that because a lot of your big audience, unfortunately, just doesn't like to have fun in the golf world.
You know, it's really funny because I grew up on public golf courses. I mean, I would clean the pro shop to get golf balls to be able to play.
Really?
Yeah, and when I would be on the range, there's guys in tank tops and cut off jean shorts, and like that's really what I grew up knowing within the golf industry. And so when I started to showcase that online was just fun and things that I was wearing, I didn't think that it was going to warrant that type of reaction.
Really?
At first. And then when I realized like, oh, this is really pissing people off, I'm gonna lean into this and have a lot more fun, because I feel like golf and social media, everyone just takes themselves way too seriously. And it's like, we are hitting a ball with a stick. It's not that serious. And what we post online isn't that serious. And life is so hard and you see so many bad things online. I want people to have fun when they come to my platform. And I'm in on the joke, in on the bit, and I have good self-awareness. And I really just lean into it and try to have as much fun as possible.
When did you realize, okay, life was different for Paige Baranek and you were really blowing up on the internet and overtaking it on anytime you go on Instagram or TikTok, there you are.
It's so funny. I was getting frozen yogurt with my mom after I won a golf tournament, and my phone was just blowing up, which was kind of a weird occurrence because I'm pretty introverted. And everyone's like, someone wrote an article about you, and I was getting hundreds of thousands of followers. I went from having 500 followers to 100,000 followers overnight. And my life from that moment has never been the same. And it's been a really crazy journey. But still, I wake up today and I'm like, I can't believe that this is my job in my life, and I'm so humbled, and like I can't believe that people support me in the way that they do. And I know people always talk about, you know, hate and how you deal with hate. I have so much more support and so like such a really healthy, positive, amazing community of people who have followed me, some for 10 years now, and they're the first people to wish me happy birthday or like happy holidays, or they're always there for me, and that just means the world to me. And so I'm so lucky to be able to do this.
But your DMs are still probably crazy.
They are intense. Yeah. they are crazy. It's so funny because I'm so desensitized to it now because I've been doing this for such a long time, and people are like, oh, your DMs are crazy. I'm like, oh, they're not that bad. And then I'll give them my phone for a second, and they're looking through them,
they go,
and they're
yep,
like,
they're
are
bad.
You okay? Like, I'm now sick in the head because I'm so desensitized to it.
Where is it the worst for you? Because whenever someone is a public figure, you have Twitter, you have Facebook, You have Instagram. Like, what DMs are your worst? Because I have a theory on where I think the worst are with the DMs.
Most people think it's X, but it's actually Instagram.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I thought it was Facebook.
Oh, interesting.
There's a message request. And when we've had things that have blown up, and, you know, if I go after, I know you're a Steelers fan, but this was one of them, the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I tell, like, Ben Roethlisberger to shut his mouth about, like, bitching about having to play or something.
Valid.
Right?
As a Steelers fan, valid.
I'll get a DM telling me I'm, like, the worst human being on the world. But it's okay if it's coming from, like, a 45-year-old guy that's a father of two, when it's like some 75-year-old Pittsburgh grandmother.
Bible verse in the bio. Yeah.
I just want to treat everybody well. And I go, not according to your DMs.
Treat others like, it's crazy. And it's always like a picture. The profile picture is always like of their dog with a Bible verse in it. And then it's the most like horrendous message you've ever received. But it's like, if I wake up and someone didn't tell me to, you know, like, unalive myself, then it's not a good day. You know, it's not normal.
You want 50% of the people to love you, 50% of the people
it
hate
is. It's true. I always say you want 70% to hate you and like dislike what you do, and 30% to love it, because that's how you grow and you start conversations. And that's the most important part with what we do.
All right. Do you think there's any chance after the game, if the Chiefs win, Paige Spiranek, that Travis Kelce proposes to Taylor Swift?
No way. And even if he did, they wouldn't talk about it.
Here's the other thing too. I don't think guys should propose, and I know Taylor Swift's a different level, and he's playing in the game. I don't think any guy should propose at a sporting event.
Unless you, like, met at that event or there's something really special there. But, no, I don't love a sporting event engagement.
Yeah, it's weird. Like,
now, it would be so cringy, too, if, like, he just wins the Super Bowl and then he drops down on one knee and she, I don't know. I think it would just take away from, like, the moment, and all of his teammates would probably not really like that.
I said this from the jump.
That's going to be a headline now.
Yeah. Trust me, I know what I'm doing here. Gage,
Taylor Swift, and Travis Kelce. And I'm like, oh my God, no, what did I just say?
But when they first started dating, I said, this has to go the distance. This has to go all the way. I was big on the engagement right from the start. When they get engaged, though, I think we'll just find out about it, and it will be somewhere private and where most of us don't get to see it.
I don't think we'll know until they're married and it somehow comes out in one way or another. I mean, they're both so public with everything that they do that they probably want to keep something to themselves. And I think they're really well matched, and I'm rooting for them. They seem really happy.
Paige Spiranek here with us. All right, you could golf with three people, any three people ever. Dead, alive, doesn't matter. You get to golf with three people. Who are they?
Okay, Charles Barkley, Steph Curry, and Tiger Woods.
That's a great trio.
I think it'd be so much fun. A lot of banter, good golf from Tiger and Steph, and then Barkley, and I would just kind of, you know, shank it up.
Well, Barkley would have the best jokes.
Yes.
And you could have humility, right, when you shank a shot, like you said, and him shanking a shot. And I'm actually annoyed that he got somewhat good at golf.
I know, and I was good at golf, and it was like, wait, we had someone that we could, like, watch the hitch and the swing, and no.
Yeah, because that hip action that Charles Barkley used to be doing was awesome. Tiger, it's just...
Tiger.
I'm 30 years old, and Tiger Woods, to me, is what golf was all about. So that would be so damn cool. And Steph Curry, he could be the coolest superstar on the planet. We talk about hate, right? Outside of him throwing his mouth guard once, I don't think there's any reason to truly hate Steph Curry. He just seems like a good dude.
And his family, it's like, and he's so good at golf too. And it really annoys me because I'm like, you're so good at everything. Like, be bad at one thing in life. But yeah, he just seems so kind and humble. And like, his family is just so sweet.
So I know this isn't the case, but this is why I'm asking it, Paige Spiranek. So people will just see you on Instagram. They'll be like, oh, she doesn't know anything about golf. She can't golf. And I bet you most of the people that end up saying those things, you could kick their ass in golf. So tell us more about your golf career.
Yeah, so I was actually a competitive gymnast before I transferred over into golf. I wanted to go to the Olympics, then I fractured my kneecap twice. And I always wanted to be a pro athlete in some sport. And so I sat down with my parents, and we just tried to figure out what I would be good at. And I tried tennis first. My aunt was a professional tennis player. It didn't work out. And then I got into golf and was ranked 25 in the top 25 in the world as a junior golfer, got a full ride scholarship to play D1 golf, and then played professionally for about 2 years. And now I'm about like a, I think my current handicap's like a plus 3.8 or 9, which is most people get confused with this, but it's three shots better than scratch.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
So I can still play, but yeah, a lot of people are like, oh, you don't know anything or you're not very good. Because I don't really showcase like
sure.
the knowledge that I have a lot of times. So even when I do try to do golf instruction, I try to make it as simple as possible because I think that golf instruction is so overcomplicated and it's very overwhelming. And so I really try to strip it back with the content that I post.
So tell me a little bit about Lost Pages YouTube channel.
Yeah, so I signed with Sports Grid and we created Lost Pages, which is this destination of fantasy to casino to sports betting to lifestyle. And our first show that we created is called Gimme Props, and it launched February 2nd on our YouTube channel under Lost Pages. And it's so much fun. People just will send in prop bets and I have to see if I can do it or not.
Like anything?
Anything. So the first two episodes.
It's not like, oh, like what's the color of the Gatorade?
No, no, no. It's so the first the first episode is called Dirty Balls. And and it's
that's going viral.
Yeah, headline. And it's how many dirty golf balls can I clean in 60 seconds?
Okay.
And so we had the ball washer. I need to stop doing that hand motion every time I explain this. I need to put my hands in my pockets. I've done that like for every single interview now. And so that was the first episode. And then the second episode was a double stacked burger. And if I could eat it or finish it in 5 bites.
Wow. Someone was telling me before you came on, there's like a marshmallow one. How many marshmallows
can you fit in your mouth? There's how many marshmallows you can fit in your mouth. We did some food challenges, some other really fun challenges, some golf related, some sports related, really across the board. But it's dependent on the people who send them in.
Who do you think is going to win the game on Sunday, by the way?
You know, it's funny. So my parents are both from Pittsburgh and I am a Steelers fan. And so I can't really root for the Eagles.
Okay, fair.
And I do like Taylor Swift. I'm Team Taylor Swift. And I think it'd be cool to see history be made. So I think I want the Chiefs to win, but I just want everyone to have fun.
Oh, I just hope both teams have fun.
I'm very like even on this one. I would have loved to see Bills Commanders. I think that would have been awesome, but you know, this game will be incredible too.
So Steeler fan, they are a team that the standard used to be all the way up here.
Yeah.
Now people are like, all right, we're just good. We haven't won a playoff game since 2016. Are you tired of Tomlin? Do you want to see a new coach? Like, where are you at with the Steelers?
It's so hard because I've always been a Mike Tomlin fan, and I think he's such an incredible coach. But at the end of the day, you can't just keep having a winning record. Like, you need to win playoff games. You need to at least give it a run. And so it has been a little bit frustrating where that was the standard that we were expecting. And now it's just, okay, what, do we get to the playoffs? Do we not? But I... This is embarrassing. I have the biggest crush on Mike Tomlin. I always have.
Really? And
so, I don't know. I just think he is just so
cool. Is he the sexiest coach in the NFL?
Yeah, I don't know, but there's just something about him that he's just like so cool. And so I always root for Mike Tomlin. So it hurts to say, but I think maybe his time has come.
It's coming to an end.
Yeah.
So what's the deal? Adam Sandler once promised me when I was like 15 years old to be in his next movie. He never came through on the promise. I've seen him throughout the years though since. Are you in Happy Gilmore too?
I guess you're going to have to wait and see.
Do you know the answer to that yet?
I don't even know the answer.
Oh, okay. So I guess we're not. She gave me a wink there, so I think that's a yes. But that was right away you played into it on social media.
You know, I did a fun shoot where I dressed up as Virginia in his dream sequence.
The whole world has seen it.
Yeah, and she's holding beer, and that kind of went viral. And so when people were talking about Happy Gilmore 2, I was like, oh, it'll just be funny to post it. And then people were like, oh, you're in the film because
that's
you posted it. It was like confirmation. And so people were asking about it. And I was like, I'm just gonna run
play
with this and
it.
Just see
Why
what
not?
Happens. I have these pictures, might as well use them. But I mean, regardless, Happy Gilmore 2 is gonna be really cool to see.
So what's your happy place?
My happy place is on a golf course with puppies everywhere.
Okay.
Corn dogs. I love corn dogs.
Corn dogs.
Yeah, very underrated food.
So what's on the Paige Sporanic spread for Super Bowl Sunday? Like, what are you picking out eating on?
Okay. Well, if I don't have to worry about health.
Yes.
Okay, so we're going to have...
It's a cheat day.
It's a cheat day?
You could afford a cheat day.
Okay, so we're going to have a variety of fries, sweet potato fries, potato and tater tots. And then we're going to do corn dogs for sure. Have to have corn dogs. And then we're going to do mac and cheese, chicken tenders, and then we're going to have ice cream, a whole ice cream spread.
Wow. No wings? Do you not like wings?
I do like wings.
Chicken tenders. That's why I asked.
Yeah. No, wings are good. They're just messy to watch, like, at a game.
Yes.
If you're at home, fine, totally okay to eat. But, like, oh, pizza. Have to have pizza.
Well done, too, on the pizza.
Yeah.
So, ranch or blue cheese?
Hot honey.
Not on the pizza. I'm talking about with the wings.
Oh, the wings? Okay. Ranch, for sure.
What is wrong with everyone? That's two people. That's a character flaw of mine. If you say
ranch. Depends. If they're like really hot wings, I'll go blue cheese.
Okay.
If they're mild, I will go ranch.
You end up going
but
ranch.
But I prefer no dip.
No dip at all.
No sauce.
That's not fun though.
You like a little saucy?
Yes.
You like to get saucy
yes.
with it?
Okay. I like to get
I respect
a little saucy
that. So
with
what's your
blue
favorite
cheese.
Condiment?
So in the world?
Yeah. Wait, are there?
Well, no, sorry. What I meant by that is like outside of the wing world. No, on
and
Mars.
Oh my God!
I would say chipotle mayo.
Okay.
I like chipotle mayo. I think that's just you could
put on anything.
Use it with so many different things now. Chipotle mayo.
I like that.
Anyway, I appreciate you doing this. Thanks so much for stopping by once again. Las Pages YouTube channel. Make sure you check it out. What do you already have? Like 900 million subscribers.
We just launched it, so I've been
already. Yes.
We always need more, so come and check it out.
What's the dumbest thing that you went viral for? Where you go like, how the heck did I go viral for this? This is just stupid.
I had a podcast and I was talking about, someone asked a question of what I wear under like golf skirts. And
oh, okay.
I said, I wear shorts. And the headline was Paige doesn't wear underwear under her skirts. And so to this day, people still think that like that's a thing. I get asked that all the time. And that simple
that's
little
be
question.
Creepy,
yeah, it was crazy. But like that was the craziest thing that I went viral for because it was such an innocent, you know, answer.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, I'm actually, you know, you just wear shorts. And then it turned into this huge headline and like actually problems with like sponsors and the whole thing because,
over
yeah,
that?
Oh, yeah, over that. It was like all over this headline.
That's wild.
That was the craziest one where I just didn't even see it coming at all.
Anyway, good luck with the YouTube channel. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
All righty, we'll take a time out. We'll come on back from Radio Row. Let's send it back to New York City. Emmanuel Babari standing by with the latest sports flash. All righty, the Zach Gelb Show on Super Bowl Radio Row is sponsored by Tide Pods. Turn to cold water washing with Tide Pods. When you switch from hot to cold, you could save up to $150 a year on your energy bill. Plus, Tide cleans great. In cold. And Samter, what's the number one joke that you got this week with our set as we have a great Tide washing machine behind us and you got all the pods and everything? Every single person that sits down says the same exact thing.
Well, there's something a lot about eating Tide Pods.
Yes.
That's been the big one. Although, one thing I also noticed is on the actual washing machine, there's gentle cycle, spin cycle, and then there's a gargling cycle.
Oh.
I've never heard of the gargle cycle before on a washing machine.
Neither have I.
Yeah, so those are the two jokes I've been getting. What the hell is a gargle cycle, and who's eating the Tide Pod?
Yes. Well, maybe for Paige Baronic's new YouTube channel, we could try the Tide Pod eating challenge, if that's one of the things.
I'll be the first contestant.
Yes. And also...
Oh, no. That's going to live forever.
Sorry, my hearing isn't working all that great. Could we hear that one more time? And your voice there, it went to a different octave. That's a high-pitched Samter voice right there.
I mean, listen, I don't think that there's any lie behind what I said. Travis Kelce is sexy.
Jeez. Your voice cracks there. It's like, Travis Kelce is sexy. Very interesting right there. Oh, geez. I thought Stu, I'm not going to lie, was doing some editing for the podcast or something to put up on the feed. And I go, why is he playing this in my headset right now as I'm on the radio? So we got a new drop right there on the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. Let's do this right now. So there's a lot of trade rumors, and this is how we'll end the show today. So Samter has compiled the list here on do I think these players are actually going to get traded. Myles Garrett, yes. Or this is just players on the move. So where will they be next year potentially too? So Myles Garrett, yes, I think he'll be traded. Russell Wilson, the Steelers are somewhere else. I still think they're going to bring him back with the Steelers. I would not. We should have got Paige Baronic's thoughts on Russell Wilson. She was so good, by the way, with the Steelers breakdown too. But I'm going to say that Russell Wilson's back with the Steelers. Cooper Kupp, we know he's gone. Buffalo makes a ton of sense. Aaron Rodgers, what did you think of Dimitroff yesterday, by the way? Because Dimitroff interviewed for the job, he didn't want Aaron Rodgers back, but he also said there was no edict by Woody Johnson. And it wasn't if Woody Johnson was tipping his hand. He just sat back and basically said, okay, I want to hear what you want to say, which kind of goes against how Woody Johnson is a meddling owner. And you would think he would basically tell the GM, okay, I want Aaron back or I don't want Aaron back.
I mean, the one thing I'll say is, you know, early on, Dimitroff said, I don't want to get too much into that, but no, there wasn't really an edict. I believe it, but I also think that, you know, you go into that interview knowing that you have to give the correct answer on Woody. I think that Woody went in there saying, okay, I have an answer in my head of what I want to do with Rodgers.
Oh, boy.
And then we have to decide, okay, well, and then we have to decide if I like what the GM says about it. What
does
Obu?
Dez Bryant has chimed in.
Uh-oh.
Dez Bryant is currently tweeting about our interview.
Uh-oh.
My Twitter notification. I looked at my Twitter notifications right after the Paige Spiranek interview.
Mm-mm.
And I saw all these notifications. And I got, I'll tell you, I can't tell you how many people texted me after that interview with Paige. Right now I have 38 unread text messages right now. And I wonder how many of these people I haven't heard from in years. Dez Bryant, though, just quote tweeted Kayvon Thibodeau with us earlier today saying, F the Cowboys. I had to catch myself there.
He didn't say F, though.
Yes. He spelt it out for everybody. He said the way that the word is supposed to be said that I can't say on the radio. I am reading for the first time Dez Bryant's reaction, so I have to read this slowly so I don't say something if there's any vulgarity on it. I get it. Oh, my God. He needs to do anything that's going to keep him motivated. I want him to win at the end of the day. I'm for the athletes. That is kind of a backhanded slap in the face by Dez Bryant Samter to Kayvon Thibodeau, because him saying, I get it, he needs to do anything that's going to keep him motivated, that's okay, you could dress it up. Oh, players always find ways to get motivated. But I kind of took that when you guys were going back and forth, Kayvon Thibodeau and Dez Bryant, more so, hey, this guy needs me. I don't need him, and I'm the motivation for kind of his football career. That's Dez being passive aggressive, nice, but also being, you know, a little bit with the knife getting stabbed in Kayvon Thibodeau's back. And Samter, you know, you could be passive aggressive from time to time. So I think you could on the scale for Dez Bryant, where do you kind of think this works on the passive aggressive scale?
I'm the king of aggressive aggressive. Forget about passive aggressive. You know, honestly, I actually think, because the way Kayvon said it, he said, you know what, I got love for Dez. It's just a lot of fun back and forth. I legit believe that Dez is just legit saying, you know what, you know, I understand what he's saying. I got nothing against him. I'm all for the athlete. I got no issues. I think Dez is being genuine. I don't think there's sarcasm. I don't think there's a backhanded compliment or anything like that. I think this is Dez legit saying, I get it. I'm cool with it. We're good.
I don't think so.
Ah.
I think that is, yeah, you need me. You know, you need my name to motivate you and what I say and what I dump on the Giants and all that stuff. I could guarantee you this. The first time Kayvon Thibodeau doesn't do something well next year, Dez Bryant's going to be the first one on social media. That's just going to be trashing Kayvon Thibodeau. So what an eventful first 2 days. Our Dimitroff thing made the rounds yesterday. Paige Spiranek, her talking about Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift. She even said, oh, that's going to be a headline. And, you know, that was part of our playbook there. We wanted her to get to say something about Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift. But now we have Dez Bryant tweeting about our interview with Kayvon Thibodeau. So not a bad first 2 days here on Radio Row. I don't know if anything will top, though, last year. Right. The ice bucket challenge with Matt Ryan was fun, but more so Micah Parsons. I'll never forget that when Micah Parsons just sat down and basically trashed TJ Watt. And we went to that Mexican restaurant. It was adjacent to our hotel. It was like kind of like in like a mall, it felt like. That was the scene in Walking Back. And we sat down for dinner, and like the clip had 100,000 views, and we were only there for 45 minutes. It wasn't as if we had this crazy dinner. It was quick, like kind of grab and go type of meal. And by the time I got up to walk out of that restaurant, I had like 2.5 million views. And it ended up doing like 5 million views or something like that.
Well, I think we have a chance to break it because we've got Micah Parsons joining us again tomorrow.
Yeah, but the second time, though, I don't think it's going to go as viral as the first time.
Well, listen, if he doubles down or if he...
You never forget your first.
Oh, man.
And that's probably not the guest that people thought we were going to be using that line for.
Quote of the day.
All righty. Before we let you run, let me just run through these. Myles Garrett will be traded. Russell Wilson will be back with the Steelers. Cooper Kupp's going to be traded. Rodgers, I think, is back with the Jets. T. Higgins, I don't buy that he's going to re-sign with the Bengals. I think he's going elsewhere. DK Metcalf, I don't think the Seahawks are giving him a new deal. It would not shock me within a year and a half if DK Metcalf is somewhere else. He could be the hot commodity at the trade deadline next year.
If you're
year.
The Patriots, which you are, or the Patriots fan.
Well, he doesn't want to go to the Patriots.
He doesn't want to live in Boston. That's fine. But
Katie Nolan, he said it.
Yes, but if you were the Patriots, who would you rather have, T. Higgins or DK Metcalf?
I'd rather have DK Metcalf.
Interesting. I think I would go T.
I think DK Metcalf is the better player. T. Higgins could be a number one somewhere else. But I look at DK Metcalf. I think that's more of a franchise-altering move than T. Higgins. I put it this way. I can't be selective here. I want the Patriots to get either one of them. If you get me T. Higgins, great. If you get me DK Metcalf, great. But how much are the Pats going to get used? Because the Pats, right, they could be cheap. But they have been willing to pay somewhat for a wide receiver. Right, Brandon Ayuk, $35 million a year, but Brandon Ayuk just didn't want to go there.
Neither did Calvin Ridley.
Yeah.
Or his girlfriend.
How'd that work out? You're in Tennessee. You know, it's not like that's been a wonderful move for you. But finally, Tyreek Hill. I still think he's with the Dolphins. Now, I don't really believe Tyreek, and the toothpaste is already out of the tube, but I think Rosenhaus did a fine enough job in putting enough of the toothpaste back in the tube. All righty. Fun day number two from Radio Row. We will be back tomorrow at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific time. Big thanks to Kayvon Thibodeau and Bobby Okereke for joining us, Tom Pelissero, Dominic Easley, and Paige Spiranek as well. We'll talk to you tomorrow, everybody. Big thanks to everyone here on site and back in the New York City studios. Talk Manana. We out. Bye-bye. Peace.